I was an EastEnder. I moralized and starved until one day I swore that I would be a full-fed, free man at all costs. And nothing should stop me except a bullet, neither reason nor morals nor the lives of other men. I said, "Thou shalt starve ere I starve." With those words, I became free and great. I was a dangerous man until I had my will. Now I am a useful, beneficent, kindly person. That is the history of most self-made millionaires, I fancy. When it is the history of every Englishman, we shall have an England worth living in.
Stop making speeches, Andrew. This is not the place for them.
My dear, I have no other means of conveying my ideas.
Your ideas are nonsense. You got oil because you were selfish and unscrupulous.
Not at all. I had the strongest scruples about poverty and starvation. Your moralists are quite unscrupulous about both. They make virtues of them. I had rather be a thief than a pauper. I had rather be a murderer than a slave. I don't want to be either. But if you force the alternatives on me, then by heaven I'll choose the braver and more moral one. I hate poverty and slavery worse than any of the crimes whatsoever. And let me tell you this. Poverty and slavery have stood up for centuries to your sermons and leading articles. They will not stand up to my machine guns. Don't preach at them. Don't reason with them. Kill them.
Killing. Is that your remedy for everything?
It is the final test of conviction. The only lever strong enough to overturn a social system. The only way of saying must. Let 670 fools loose in the street and 3 policemen can scatter them. But huddle them together in a certain house in Westminster and let them go to certain ceremonies and call themselves certain names until at last they have the courage to kill and your 670 fools become a government. Your pious mob fills up ballot papers and imagines it is governing its masters. But the ballot paper that really governs is the paper that has a bullet wrapped up in it.
That is perhaps why, like most intelligent people, I never vote.
Vote? Bah! When you vote, you only change the names of the cabinet. When you shoot, you pull down governments, inaugurate new epochs, abolish old orders, and set up new. Is that historically true, Mr. Learned Man, or is it not?
It is historically true. I loathe having to admit it. I repudiate your sentiments. I abhor your nature. I defy you in every possible way. Still, it is true. But it ought not to be true.
Ought. Are you going to spend your life saying ought like the rest of our moralists? Turn your oughts into shalls, man. Come and make explosives with me. Whatever can blow men up can blow society up. The history of the world is the history of those who had the courage enough to embrace this truth. Have you the courage to embrace it, Barbara?
Barbara, I positively forbid you to listen to your father's abominable wickedness. And you, Adolphus, ought to know better than to go about saying that wrong things are true. What does it matter whether they are true if they are wrong?
What does it matter whether they are wrong if they are true?
Lady Britomart rises.
Children, come home instantly. Andrew, I am exceedingly sorry I allowed you to call on us. You are wickeder than ever. Come at once.
Barbara shakes her head.
It's no use running away from wicked people, Mama.
It is every use. It shows your disapprobation of them.
It does not save them.
I can see that you are going to disobey me. Sarah, are you coming home or are you not?
I dare say it's very wicked of Papa to make cannons, but I don't think I shall cut him on that account.
Lomax pours oil on the troubled waters.
The fact is, you know, there is a certain amount of tosh about this notion of wickedness. It doesn't work. You must look at facts. Not that I would say a word in favor of anything wrong, but then, you see, all sorts of chaps would always be doing all sorts of things. And we have to fit them in somehow, don't you know? What I mean is that you can't go cutting everybody, and that's about what it comes to.
Their rapt attention to his eloquence makes him nervous.
Perhaps I don't make myself clear.
You are lucidity itself, Charles. Because Andrew is successful and has plenty of money to give to Sarah, you will flatter him and encourage him in his wickedness.
Well, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered, don't you know? Eh, Undershaft? Eh, what?
Precisely. By the way, may I call you Charles?
Delighted. Charlie is the usual ticket.
Biddy.
Don't dare call me Biddy. Charles Lomax, you are a fool. Adolphus Cousins, you are a Jesuit. Stephen, you are a prig. Barbara, you are a lunatic. Ander, you are a vulgar tradesman. Now you all know my opinion, and my conscience is clear at all events.
Lady Britomart sits down again with a vehemence that almost wrecks the chair.
My dear, you are the incarnation of morality. Your conscience is clear, and your duty done when you have called everybody names. Come, Euripides, it's getting late, and we all want to get home. Make up your mind.
Understand this, you old demon.
Adolphus!
Let him alone, Biddy. Proceed, Euripides.
You have me in a horrible dilemma. I want Barbara.
Like all young men, you greatly exaggerate the difference between one young woman and another.
Quite true, Dolly.
I also want to avoid being a rascal.
You lust for personal righteousness, for self-approval, for what you call a good conscience, for what Barbara calls salvation, for what I call patronizing people who are not so lucky as yourself.
I do not. All the poet in me recoils from being a good man. But there are things in me that I must reckon with. Pity.
Pity, the scavenger of misery.
Well, love.
I know. You love the needy and the outcast. You love the oppressed races. The Negro, the Indian peasant, the Pole, the Irishman. Do you love the Japanese? Do you love the Germans? Do you love the English?
No. Every true Englishman detests the English. We are the wickedest nation on earth, and our success is a moral horror.
That is what comes of your gospel of love, is it?
May I not even love my father-in-law?
Who wants your love, man? By what right do you take the liberty of offering it to me? I will have your due heed and respect, or I will kill you. But your love? Damn your impertinence.
I may not be able to control my affections, Mac.
You are fencing, Euripides. You are weakening. Your grip is slipping. Come, try your last weapon. Pity and love have broken in your hand. Forgiveness is still left.
No. Forgiveness is a beggar's refuge. I am with you there. We must pay our debts.
Well said. Come, you will suit me. Remember the words of Plato.
Plato! You dare quote Plato to me.
Plato says, my friend, that society cannot be saved until either the professors of Greek take to making gunpowder, or else the makers of gunpowder become professors of Greek.
Oh, tempter. Cunning tempter.
Come, choose, man. Choose!
But perhaps Barbara will not marry me if I make the wrong choice.
Perhaps not.
Cousins is desperately perplexed.
You hear?
Father, do you love nobody?
I love my best friend.
And who is that, pray?
My bravest enemy. That is the man who keeps me up to the mark.
You know, the creature is really a sort of poet in his way. Suppose he is a great man after all.
Suppose you stop talking and make up your mind, my young friend.
But you are driving me against my nature. I hate war.
Hatred is the coward's revenge for being intimidated. Dare you make war on war? Here are the means. My friend Mr. Lomax is sitting on them.
Lomax springs up.
Oh, I say! You don't mean that this thing is loaded, do you? My ownest come off it.
Sarah remains sitting placidly on the shell.
If I'm to be blown up, the more thoroughly it is done, the better. Don't fuss, Charlie.
Your own daughter, you know.
So I see. Well, my friend, may we expect you here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Not on any account. I will see the whole establishment blown up with its own dynamite before I will get up at 5. My hours are healthy, rational hours, 11 to 5.
Come when you please. Before a week, you will come at 6 and stay until I turn you out for the sake of your health. Bilton!
Undershaft turns to Lady Britomart, who rises.
My dear, let us leave these two young people to themselves for a moment. I am going to take you through the gun cotton shed.